In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us. For his sake, grant us remission of all our sins. Thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, Epiphany, is found recorded in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6, and reads as follows. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Let us now sing hymn 352. Thank you. The gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and reads as follows. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this morning is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It's the same as the Gospel lesson just read, and it reads again as follows. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, the well-known event of the wise men from the east searching out and finding the recently born king of the Jews is the classic Bible narrative and historic gospel lesson for Epiphany, which we celebrate today. The word Epiphany means a manifestation or an appearance. On this day, it is customary to celebrate the first known appearance of the Savior to non-Jewish, Gentile believers. Even though God's people in the Old Testament were Jews, and even though Jesus himself, according to his human nature, was a Jew, the precious benefits of his work of redemption are intended for all people, of all races, all cultures, all countries, all ethnic backgrounds. Christ is, as Simeon declared in his Nunc Dimittis, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. In our text for today, we learn about a wondrous miracle that accompanied the birth of the Savior. A special star was placed in the sky to be both a sign of Christ's birth and also a guide to lead those who knew what the sign meant to the location of the newborn king. Certain wise men, or magi from the east, took note of that special star, understood what it meant, and set out on a journey looking for Christ, the king of the Jews. Now, exactly what eastern country those wise men were from, and how exactly they knew to expect the coming of Christ and the star that would announce his birth, are questions that the Bible does not answer. We do know from the Old Testament that the prophet Daniel was regarded as the head of the Magi, the wise men, in the eastern country of Babylon. So it may have been through his teaching passed down through generations that the wise men, or magi in our text, learned about the coming of the Messiah and about the star that would announce his birth. Even though we know very little about those wise men, we do know that they were true believers in Christ. Because in our text for today, we can clearly observe how the wise men showed their faith in the newborn king. In the first place, we see that they searched diligently for the newborn king. And secondly, they worshiped the Savior and laid their gifts before him. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. Our text begins by telling us, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.'" The wise men had come a considerable distance from a far-off eastern country, following a special star, that they knew would bring them to this newborn king of the Jews. But as they drew closer to the end of their journey, for one reason or another, they lost sight of the guiding star. And they went to Jerusalem, which is not where Jesus was born, but it was the capital city of the Jews. It was the place where the current King Herod was living, and that seemed like the logical place to find the newborn king, Christ. But though logic and reason pointed them to Jerusalem, that was not the right place. Jesus was nowhere to be found in that city. In much the same way, anyone who is following human logic and reason in an attempt to find God or to find a Savior will always end up in the wrong place. Human reason can never be trusted to be a reliable guide in spiritual matters. Now, it is true that man by nature, even without the instruction of God's word, knows that there is a God, knows that God requires obedience. People know that they sin, that they have not perfectly followed God, and so they naturally search for ways to make themselves good with God, to appease his wrath. Sadly, however, human reason always misleads man into thinking that he can make up for his sins and pacify God's anger by doing various works. Many even who call themselves Christians believe that. For example, the Roman Catholics pay for masses to be said, pray with the rosary beads, go to the confessional booth, and so on, all because human reason tells them that by such works they will appease God's wrath and save their souls. By nature, man always looks to himself, to his own works, to save himself. Even many people who are familiar with what the Bible teaches still come to that wrong conclusion because they see the law of God in the Ten Commandments, and then they foolishly think that that's the pathway to heaven, that if they try really hard and keep those commandments, they can work their way into God's favor. And it is true that, as far as other human beings are concerned, man does have the ability to live a openly decent, impressive, upright, practically perfect outward life. But the Bible tells us that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. And that is because God sees into the heart and mind of a person. And every single sinful thought that crosses a person's mind renders him completely guilty before the Lord, so that he deserves nothing but eternal punishment in hell. That is the condemnation that you and I deserve. That is the condemnation that will befall all those who rest on human reason and attempt to save themselves by their works. Now, the wise men in our text were not work righteous. They had been brought to saving faith in Christ, so they trusted in him, not in their own works or merits. They knew that a Savior had been born, and they were eager to see him. But in the city of Jerusalem, when they asked about the whereabouts of the newborn king of the Jews, none of the local Jews knew anything about it. It must have seemed very strange to those wise men, that they who were Gentiles were informing the Jews in Jerusalem that their long-awaited Messiah king had been born. And that news didn't have the effect upon the people that the wise men might have expected. It did not fill them with joy and excitement. Rather, the people became uneasy and fearful at the thought of it. They were troubled by it. And that is because they feared the wrath of their current king, Herod, known in history as Herod the Great. They knew of his murderous tendencies. Herod was so power-hungry that he had put to death three of his own sons. Herod was the Roman-appointed king of the Jews, and he was not happy to hear that there was some new king of the Jews who had been born. Our text tells us, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Even though no one in Jerusalem seemed to know anything about this newborn king, the Magi, the wise men, were sure of it. They were sure he had been born, and their certainty of this fact convinced Herod that it also must be true. So now Herod was interested in finding where this new king was to destroy him. We read in our text, "And when he," namely Herod, "had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." He called upon the chief priests and scribes because he wanted them to draw from their knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures and to pinpoint the location of the Messiah. And those learned men were able to give Herod the correct answer from the Bible, quoting from the book of the prophet Micah. Our text tells us, "And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." So now Herod knew the right town. But he still wanted more information. And this is where the wise men could help him. We read in our text, "Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Herod wanted to know the approximate age of the Christ child. So he inquired of the wise men when exactly that star first appeared. Having received that information, he sent them to Bethlehem with the request that after they find this newborn king, that they come back to Jerusalem and tell him exactly where he could find him. Herod pretended that he wanted to worship the Savior, but in reality, his only desire was to kill the baby Jesus and eliminate this imagined threat to the throne. Of course, the wise men at this point had no reason to suspect Herod's evil intentions. And now, thanks to the prophecy from the Old Testament scriptures, the wise men were pointed in the right direction, heading to Bethlehem, back on course, and very close to their final destination. Similarly, with all people, the scriptures of the Old and New Testament are the only reliable guide to show a lost and condemned sinner where to find the Savior. Since our own sin-stained works cannot appease God's wrath, but only increases our guilt before Him, we need to seek a Savior outside of ourselves. Our impaired human reason will only mislead us. All writings of purely human origin will not help us. No matter how learned the authors may be, they'll never help a sinner to find his Savior. Only the Bible, God's own inspired revelation, can help us in our search for a Savior from sin and hell. And the Holy Scriptures show us that Savior in the baby born in Bethlehem. This is Jesus Christ, true God with the Father and the Holy Ghost, who received his true human body and soul in the womb of the Virgin Mary, so that as true God and true man, he would be able to redeem us from the curse of the law. Now, corrupt human reason would mock at the idea that this seemingly helpless poor little child could save the world from the wages of sin. But faith lays hold on this truth and applies the blessings of Christ's work of redemption to the individual believer. Though their human reason had taken them to Jerusalem, the scriptures put the wise men back on course to find the Savior in Bethlehem. And now God caused the special star to appear again and to guide them to the location of the Christ child. Our text tells us, "When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." Seeing that special star again meant that they were indeed on the right track. Their joy was exceedingly great, because they knew that God was again guiding them and would soon lead them to him whom they had traveled so far to see. The light from that special star must have come down very low in the sky, because it led the wise men to the exact house where the Christ child was. Their joy was certainly all the more great when they entered into the house and saw the young child, their king, with Mary his mother. Their long journey was over, and it was a success. No more searching. They had found the King of the Jews. They had found their God and Savior. When a poor, terrified sinner is led by the gospel to find the Lord Jesus, his Savior by faith, then his heart is filled with exceeding great joy. No longer does he need to fear God's wrath against sin and the punishments of death and hell, for peace has been established between God and man on account of the perfect life and the innocent suffering and death of Jesus Christ, which he accomplished in the stead of all mankind. Through the saving faith that the Holy Ghost has created in our hearts, we have been made partakers of God's grace, the grace that Christ earned for us. By faith in Christ our Savior, we Christians can, like the wise men in our text, rejoice with exceeding great joy. We can do that every hour of our lives. For in Christ our sins are forgiven, and we know that heaven is ours. In Christ we are freed from the slavery of sin, and we can overcome the devil's temptations. In Christ we know that God is our gracious Heavenly Father, who hears and answers all of our prayers. In Christ, we know that all things, including our crosses, must work together for our good according to God's promises. Now, the Christian heart, the heart that is truly joyful in the Lord, truly thankful for being led by God to find his one and only Savior from sin, will bring forth fruits of faith, works of worship and praise. Upon seeing the Christ child, the wise men in our text fell down and worshipped him. We read, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." An outside observer would have considered that to be a very strange thing. Those distinguished men from the east arrive in the little town of Bethlehem and enter into a little house, find a poor mother with her child, and then they commence to worship the child as their God and King. Here we see Gentile foreigners worshiping the King of the Jews, the older worshiping the younger, the wise and learned men of the east worshiping a little child. And as strange as all that might seem, their behavior was completely appropriate. The Magi were men of faith who had traveled a long distance for a long time, confidently believing in the newborn Savior, whom they had not yet seen with their physical eyes. But now they were blessed beyond measure to be able to see him, to worship him, and to present to them, and to present to him their gifts. Their gifts, as described in our text, were three, the first being gold, a very valuable metal, fit for one who is a king. Frankincense is the second one, which is a resin, very fragrant when burnt. Incense was used in the worship of God, and so it was certainly fit for one who is God. And myrrh was a perfume used for anointing and embalming the dead, fit for one who is appointed to die for the sins of the world. These very generous gifts were further evidence of the wise men's faith and their love for the Savior. The joy of having a Savior from sin should likewise move us Christians to bring forth proper works of worship in our lives. But what kind of worship and what sorts of gifts should our faith in Christ produce? Simply this: loving obedience. Jesus told his disciples, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And following the commandments of God should not be a grievous thing for us. It should be our joy and delight. The wise men were not forced to bow down before the Savior and give him their gifts. No, they wanted to show their love for the Savior that way. They wanted to show their faith by those works. And we should do the same. The wise men left their home, their country, traveled a very long distance to worship the Savior. Jesus doesn't tell us to do that, but he does want us to worship him with God-pleasing works in our own home, at school, at work, in public and in private, at all times, showing forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. A person who has been so blessed to find the Savior should always remember that this all-important discovery of the heart by faith was not the result of his diligent searching. An unbeliever who thoroughly reads and studies the Bible and then comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus cannot credit himself, cannot credit his own reading and studying with his conversion. While an unbeliever does have the ability to choose to read the Bible or choose to walk into a church and listen to a sermon, he does not have the power to decide to believe what he reads in the Bible or what he hears from the pastor. That is something that has to be worked in him by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost does use his word to accomplish that. It is therefore very important for people to search the Scriptures and find in the Scriptures eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus. But it is the working of God the Holy Ghost and not man's searching that actually creates and sustains faith in the heart. With this in mind, let us thank the Lord for our conversion. Thank him for the gift of faith that he's bestowed upon us. Continue diligently to follow the guiding light of Holy Scripture to our Savior, and faithfully keep the star of our salvation as revealed in the gospel clearly in view until we arrive at our eternal destination, where we too shall behold the Savior face to face. God grant this to us for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. Let us rise to pray. Almighty and everlasting God, the Father of lights, who didst manifest thine only begotten Son in the flesh, making known his birth at Bethlehem by a wonderful star to the wise men of the East, we praise thee for thine infinite mercy and surpassing love in granting unto us a ransom for our sins. We praise thee that the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. We praise thee that thou hast prepared thy salvation before the face of all people, and hast established on earth the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, as the home of thy continual presence and power among men. We praise thee that thou hast also brought us into the fellowship of thy beloved Son by the bright light of thy word, so that we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but partakers of thy grace, fellow citizens with the saints, members of thy household and heirs of thy kingdom. We will extol thee, O God, we will bless thy holy name forever and ever. We will exalt thee and sing unto thee, for thou hast remembered thy covenant and sent salvation to thy people. And we beseech thee, let us evermore follow the shining light of thy divine word. Take heed thereunto as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, that the day may dawn and the day star arise in our hearts, that we may know thee and worship thee and present ourselves to thee as an acceptable sacrifice. Enable us to offer up to thee the gold of faith, the incense of prayer, and the myrrh of daily repentance. Graciously save and defend our country and its people, our government, and the whole Christian church on earth. Bless all honest labor, and give us day by day our daily bread. Preserve us from sickness and famine and all other earthly calamities. Visit the afflicted, the sick, and the dying with thy heavenly consolation. Preserve unto us and our children thy pure word and precious sacraments. And to this end, cause men in our conference to be filled with the earnest desire to be pastors in our congregations, and to be trained for such office in our seminary, that thy holy word may continue among us for generations to come. Bless also Pastor Leitz in his work as the spiritual shepherd of our sister congregation, Trinity in Oak Park. According to thy will, grant him strength and health in body and mind, so that the souls of our brethren may continue to be fed with thy holy word for their salvation and to the glory of thy name. Help us by thine aid, and guide us with thy counsel. And so let the blessed light of thy countenance shine into our hearts, that we may daily increase in the knowledge of our Lord and King, honor, confess, and worship him. Take up our cross daily and follow him, and always walk as becometh the children of light, that men may see our good works and glorify thee, and that we may in the end pass with joy and confident hope through the dark veil of death into life, in thy presence in light and glory everlasting. Through thy dear Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we furthermore pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Thank you. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who has given us the light of thy holy word, the guiding star which leadeth us to the Christ child, send, we beseech thee, thy Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive this light by faith for our salvation, that we may not be afraid because of any hardship or peril, but put our trust in thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, as our only Savior, that we may devote our earthly possessions to the advancement of thy kingdom, and in all things serve him, thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Let us now sing verse 6 of hymn 130.